Welcome to the Soulful Podcast. I am your host, Megan Harmony, a champion at overcoming the tough stuff and enjoying life while rising above it. Soulful living means getting to a place of ease and comfort, no matter what's happening around you. It is waking up excited about what adventures you will go on. It's connecting to the power within you as your source of strength, grace, and security. It's being uncomfortable during growth spurts and leaning into the stretch. Each week, I will share with you about my journey and the experiences I have had. I'll offer you hope and inspiration that it is possible to live a full life, even when the you-know-what is hitting the fan. I believe that love is a language we can all understand, and I want to inspire you to trust and believe in yourself. Your soul is hungry for more. Lean in to get soul full. Hey, 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 everybody. I want to start off by letting you guys know that I have available sessions for Arcturian Reiki and light healing. I've really stepped into my gift in this area and the fact that I have the ability to heal. About a month ago, a couple different people got a hold of me to help their family that was in hospital. And both of those family members are now currently talking and eating, and prior to that were in a comatose state. So that's not guaranteed for everyone, but I do have the ability to heal. So if you're interested in a session, send me a private message on both Facebook or Instagram, or send me an email and let's get you a session booked to heal any areas of your life that might be struggling, emotional, mental, social, financial, anything like that. I have the energies attuned to me that I can send them to you and help you heal. So reach out to me for that. Today marks the end of our four-part series, The Beginner's Meetings of AA, from the book Back to Basics by Wally P. So let's get started on session four, steps 10, 11, and 12. This is our fourth journey back to the fall of 1946 and the AA Beginners Meetings. During this session, we will spend much of our time sharing the results of our two-way communication with the God of our understanding. We will experience the psychic change that occurs as we move from a life run on self-will to a life guided by the vision of God's will. We have demystified the 12 steps and shown you how simple this program truly is. For those who will be completing their steps tonight, we congratulate you for your effort and we welcome you to the sunlight of the spirit. Please remember that in order to remain spiritually fit, we must be of service to other alcoholics. We can think of no greater service than helping newcomers through the 12 steps so they too can find the spiritual solution to their drinking problem. It is important to remember that recovery is an ongoing process. We don't just take the steps once and then rest on our laurels. Keep in mind, alcohol is a subtle foe. We must repeat this process again and again in order to keep in fit spiritual condition. So please come back to the next series of beginners meetings. We are sure you will gain additional insight into the big book and continue to enhance your relationship with the one who has all power. Welcome to the fourth of the 1 hour AA beginners meetings. This is the payoff. This is what we've been working for, to recover from the seemingly hopeless state of mind and body known as alcoholism. By taking the 12 steps, we experience the spiritual awakening that leads us to a new freedom and a new happiness. My name is Megan, and I am a member of a 12-step fellowship. It is a pleasure to play a part in this life-changing process, to watch people grow spiritually right before my very eyes. Let's see who's ready to be rocketed into that fourth dimension of existence that the big book authors write about. Will those who have taken steps 1 through 8 and are working on their 9th step amends, please say aye. Thank you. We commend you for choosing to let the God of your understanding direct your lives. Now it is time to expand upon this new God consciousness. We do this by living steps 10, 11, and 12 on a daily basis. The 10th step has us practice steps 4 through 9 on a regular basis. The 11th step shows us how to improve our spiritual connection through prayer and meditation. The 12th step provides us with guidelines for carrying our life-saving message to others. Let's start with the 10th step. Step 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. In steps 1, 2, and 3, we made the decisions that put us on the spiritual path. In steps 4 through 9, we took the actions necessary to remove those things that have kept us separated from the God of our understanding. Now we're ready to grow into the promised spiritual awakening. The key to the 10th step is the word continue. In the second paragraph on page 84, the Big Book authors emphasize the importance of continuing to take the steps. This brings us to step 10, which suggests we continue to take personal inventory and continue to set right any new mistakes as we go along. We vigorously commence this way of living as we cleaned up the past. We have entered the world of the Spirit. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. This is not an overnight matter. It should continue for our lifetime. In this paragraph, the authors explain how to live one day at a time. We call this our 24-hour plan. We continue to take inventory, continue to make amends, and continue to help others every day. Let's look at the third sentence in this paragraph again. It is very important. It reads, "We have entered the world of the Spirit." This sentence contains an amazing revelation. Basically, the Big Book authors have just informed us that our lives have already been transformed as the result of taking steps 1 through 9. They state that we have had a revolutionary change in our way of thinking, living and thinking. How could that be? Well, it's very simple. There is no way a newcomer can take these steps without divine help. You have not only developed a belief in a God of your understanding, but you have come to rely upon this power to guide you through the inventory and restitution process. You are now living in the solution. On page 84, starting with the 8th line in the second paragraph, the authors summarize the process we use to remain spiritually connected. Continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. When these crop up, we ask God at once to remove them. We discuss them with someone immediately and make amends quickly if we have harmed anyone. Then we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. Love and tolerance of others is our code. In this paragraph, the Big Book authors present the AA test for self-will a second time. 2 weeks ago, we described how to use this test to check the liability side of our four-step inventory to determine if we needed to make amends. In the 10th step, the authors advise us to apply the same test with minor variations to our daily inventory. Here, they instruct us to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. The authors even provide us with specific directions on how to rid ourselves of these self-centered behaviors. First, we must realize they are not consistent with our Creator's plan for our lives. Next, we take the steps necessary to move from self-will to God's will. We discuss our shortcomings with our sponsor or sharing partner, ask the one who has all power to remove them, and if necessary, set right the wrong or wrongs. We then try to help someone else. The Big Book authors state that if we follow this course of action on a daily basis, our obsession to drink will be removed. This is another of the many promises we find throughout the text of the book. In the third paragraph on page 84, they write, "And we have ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol, for by this time sanity will have returned. We will seldom be interested in liquor. If tempted, we recoil from it as from a hot flame. We react sanely and normally, and we will find that this has happened automatically. We will see that our new attitude toward liquor has been given us without any thought or effort on our part. It just comes. That is the miracle of it. We are not fighting it, neither are we avoiding temptation. We feel as though we had been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. We have not even sworn off. Instead, the problem has been removed. It does not exist for us. We are neither cocky, nor are we afraid. That is our experience. That is how we react, so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. How do we keep in fit spiritual condition? By taking a daily inventory. What is our reward? A daily reprieve. The Big Book authors describe this daily reprieve in the first paragraph on page 85. It is easy to let up on the spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels. We are headed for trouble if we do, for alcohol is a subtle foe. We are not cured of alcoholism. What we really have is a daily reprieve, contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. Every day is a day when we must carry the vision of God's will into our day, into our activities. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. Another reward is God consciousness, direct contact with the spirit of the universe. In the second paragraph on page 85, the authors tell us, much has already been said about receiving strength, inspiration, and direction from Him who has all knowledge and power. If we have carefully followed directions, we have begun to sense the flow of His Spirit into us. To some extent, we have become God conscious. We have begun to develop this vital sixth sense, but we must go further, and that means more action. Once again, they insist that our lives have already changed. We are now conscious of the presence of God. As we continue with the recovery process, the power greater than ourselves will guide us, guide our thoughts and actions, and strengthen our intuition, our vital sixth sense. Now it is time to find out who is ready to take the 10th step. The directions are in the second paragraph on page 84. Starting with the second line, the Big Book authors write, we continue to take personal inventory and continue to write any new mistakes as we go along. Will those who have taken the first 8 steps and are working on their 9th step amends, please stand? This is the 10th step question. Will you continue to take personal inventory and continue to set right any new mistakes as you go along? Please answer one at a time, yes or no. After you have answered, please be seated. Thank you. According to the Big Book authors, those who answered yes to this question have taken step 10. Now let's move on to the 11th step. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. This is the step we prepared for last session. We are now going to examine prayer and meditation in more detail. Then we will give everyone the opportunity to share the guidance they received while practicing the 11th step during the past week. The description of step 11 is found on page 85 through 88. But as we learned last week, the Big Book authors have been writing about two-way prayer throughout the book. In the third paragraph on page 85, the authors advise us to conduct an 11th step on a regular basis. Step 11 suggests prayer and meditation. We shouldn't be shy on this matter of prayer. Better men than we are using it constantly. It works if we have the proper attitude and work at it. Prayer and meditation puts us directly in contact with the power greater than ourselves. Hopefully, that's what each of us has been doing this past week, praying and listening to the source of all knowledge and power. Starting with the second line on page 86, they make this statement. It would be easy to be vague about this matter, yet we believe we can make some definite and valuable suggestions. Then the Big Book authors provide step-by-step instructions on how to practice two-way prayer. They explain what we are to do at night, in the morning, and throughout the day. At night, we review the day's activities. In the first paragraph on page 86, the authors write, when we retire at night, we constructively review our day. Were we resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid? Do we owe an apology? Have we kept something to ourselves which should be discussed with another person at once? Were we kind and loving toward all? What could we have done better? Were we thinking of ourselves most of the time, or were we thinking of what we could do for others, of what we could pack into the stream of life? This paragraph contains the third reference to the AA test for self-will. The Big Book authors once again have made minor changes to the test they presented to us in the fourth and tenth steps. Nevertheless, it is still the opposite of the test for God's will based on the four standards. Test for self-will: resentful, selfish or selfishness, dishonest or dishonesty, afraid or fear. Test for God's will: purity, unselfishness, honesty, and love. We use this same test during our morning meditation to check our guidance. In the second paragraph on page 86, the authors provide us with directions for conducting a daily quiet time. On awakening, let us think about the 24 hours ahead. We consider our plans for the day. Before we begin, we ask God to direct our thinking, especially asking that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives. Let's look at the third sentence again. It reads, "Before we begin, we ask God to direct our thinking." Please concentrate on these words. They are very important. Before we begin. Before we begin what? Before we begin listening to God. How do we know we're supposed to listen to God? Because immediately afterward it says, we ask God to direct our thinking. If we ask God to direct our thinking, doesn't it stand to reason that our next thoughts and ideas are going to come from God? What do we do with these thoughts and ideas? We write them down. Why? So we won't forget them. After putting our guidance on paper, we check it against the AA test for self-will. We do this because not everything we receive during our period of meditation comes from God. However, with time and practice, we will begin to trust our vital sixth sense. Starting with the first sentence on page 87, the Big Book authors explain, "What used to be the hunch or the occasional inspiration gradually becomes a working part of the mind. Being still inexperienced and having just made conscious contact with God, it is not probable that we are going to be inspired at all times. We might pay for this presumption in all sorts of absurd actions and ideas. Nevertheless, we find that our thinking will, as time passes, be more and more on the plane of inspiration. We come to rely upon it." In December 1934, Bill W., our New York City co-founder, used the four standards of honesty, purity, unselfishness, and love to check his guidance. In the fourth paragraph on page 13, Bill states, "I was to test my thinking by the new God consciousness within. Common sense would thus become uncommon sense." For Bill, it was common sense to use alcohol to escape his problems, and uncommon sense to stay sober and let God guide him through his difficulties. Bill's life changed as the direct result of listening to and following guidance. In 1939, the Big Book authors gave us the opposites of the four standards as a way to check what we think, say, and do. As for our daily meditation, here's how it works. When we finish our quiet time, we check what we have put on paper. If what we have written is honest, pure, unselfish, and loving, we can be assured these thoughts or ideas are consistent with God's will. Conversely, if what we have written is dishonest, resentful, selfish, or fearful, we can be equally assured these thoughts or ideas are consistent with self-will. The authors indicate it is during our quiet time that our questions will be answered. In the third paragraph on page 86, they reveal how the one who has all knowledge and power is going to respond our requests for help. In thinking about our day, we may face indecision. we may not be able to determine which course to take. Here we ask God for inspiration, an intuitive thought, or a decision. We relax and take it easy. We don't struggle. We are often surprised how the right answers come after we have tried this for a while. So according to the Big Book authors, God is going to communicate with us through inspiration, an intuitive thought, or a decision. If the inner resource is going to supply us with the right answers, wouldn't it be a good idea to jot them down so we can review them from time to time? We close our time of prayer and meditation by asking God to guide us throughout our daily activities. In the first paragraph on page 87, the Big Book authors write, "We usually conclude the period of meditation with a prayer that we be shown all through the day what our next step is to be, that we be given whatever we need to take care of such problems. We ask especially for freedom from self-will and are careful to make no request for ourselves only." The authors then describe what we are to do any time we become troubled or confused. We relax and ask for guidance. Starting with the third paragraph on page 87, they suggest that as we go through the day, we pause when agitated or doubtful and ask for the right thought or action. We constantly remind ourselves we are no longer running the show, humbly saying to ourselves many times each day, "Thy will be done." We are then in much less danger of excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, or foolish decisions. We become much more efficient. We do not tire so easily, for we are not burning up energy foolishly as we did when we were trying to rearrange life to suit ourselves. It works. It really does. This is an ironclad guarantee. It works. From first-hand experience, we can state that two-way prayer has been working in our lives ever since we began a daily quiet time. But what if we don't receive any God-given thoughts or ideas? Let us assure you, this can happen at any time. Remember, all we really have is a daily reprieve contingent upon the maintenance of our spiritual condition. If we don't feel the presence of God, it means we have work to do. Maybe we've taken back our will in some area of our lives, or maybe we haven't made a necessary amends. If this is the case, we take the actions that reconnect us to the source of all knowledge and power. Starting with the second paragraph on page 88, the Big Book authors state, once again, that we need God's help. We alcoholics are undisciplined, so we let God discipline us in the simple way we have just outlined. But this is not all. There is action and more action. Faith without works is dead. In order for two-way prayer to be effective, we must constantly practice being in the presence of God. If we do the work, we will receive the rewards, a life filled with power, peace, happiness, and direction. We will conclude our presentation of the 11th step with a moment of silence, so each of us can make contact with the spirit of the universe and receive guidance right now. Please write down any thoughts or ideas you receive during this quiet time. Thank you. At the end of the last session, we asked you to meditate during the week and write down the guidance that came to you. We realize these thoughts and ideas can be very personal and are normally discussed with your sponsor or sharing partner. However, if you believe what you have written passes the test for God's will and can be of benefit to others, we ask that you share it, either on the Facebook group or on my business page. In addition, you will be helping those who are still struggling with the 11th step to see how God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. If you're willing to, go share that, either what came up throughout the last week or during tonight's quiet time. To those who shared, thank you. Whether you shared guidance or read what others had written, you have taken step 11. We can now proceed to the 12th step. Step 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Now that we've made conscious contact with the God of our understanding, we have received the greatest gift of this program, a spiritual awakening. God is now guiding us in a way which is indeed miraculous. This life-changing experience comes suddenly to some, gradually to others. In Appendix 2, on page 567, we learn more about this amazing transformation of thought and attitude. This appendix was written after the publication of the first printing of the Big Book in 1939. In the first printing, the 12th step read, having had a spiritual experience as the result of these steps. During the 2 years between the first and second printing, the word experience was discussed at length. Eventually, experience was replaced with the word awakening. The Big Book authors made this modification in order to include those whose lives had truly changed, but more slowly over a period of time. Many of you will find this to be the case also. Your life has changed, but gradually rather than suddenly. You may not be able to point to a specific experience that brought about the change, but the spiritual awakening has occurred nonetheless. Starting from the first line on page 567, the authors define spiritual experience and spiritual awakening. The terms spiritual experience and spiritual awakening are used many times in this book, which, upon careful reading, shows that the personality change sufficient to bring about recovery from alcoholism has manifested itself among us in many different forms. Yet it is true that our first printing gave many readers the impression that these personality changes or religious experiences must be in the nature of sudden and spectacular upheavals. Happily for everyone, this conclusion is erroneous. A spiritual awakening is nothing more than a psychic change that, among other things, removes our obsession to drink. So Bill W.'s rapid conversion experience in Towns Hospital is an exception rather than the rule. In the fourth paragraph on page 567, the authors describe a more gradual spiritual experience. Among our rapidly growing membership of thousands of alcoholics, such transformations, though frequent, are by no means the rule. Most of our experiences are what the psychologist William James calls the educational variety, because they develop slowly over a period of time. Quite often, friends of the newcomer are aware of the difference long before he is himself. He finally realizes that he has undergone a profound alteration in his reaction to life, that such a change could hardly have been brought about by himself alone. What often takes place in a few months could seldom have been accomplished by years of self-discipline. With few exceptions, our members find that they have tapped an unsuspected inner resource which they presently identified with their own conception of a power greater than themselves. Let's look at the fifth sentence again. It reads, what often takes place in a few months could seldom have been accomplished by years of self-discipline. The The Big Book authors make it clear that if you take the steps and then help others through them, you will recover within a few months. We realize that some will have a conversion experience during the first month, but others may not get it right away. Nevertheless, you will still have a gradual spiritual awakening as a result of going through the process again and again. This is one of the greatest promises in the Big Book. Just think of it. Even under the most difficult circumstances, if you do the work, you will overcome your drinking problem in about 90 days or so. In the first paragraph on page 568, we learn how easy it is to have the promised spiritual awakening. Most of us think that this awareness of a power greater than ourselves is the essence of spiritual experience. Our more religious members call it God consciousness. That's all there is to it. If you've made a conscious contact with the God of your understanding and you have started listening to guidance, you have, in fact, had the psychic change. You are now living in the sunlight of the Spirit. Now let's look at what we have to do in order to maintain this spiritual transformation. Chapter 7, in its entirety, is devoted to carrying the message of Alcoholics Anonymous to others. In the first paragraph, on page 89, the Big Book authors tell us how to expand our new God consciousness. Practical experience shows that nothing will so much ensure immunity from drinking as intensive work with other alcoholics. It works when other activities fail. This is our 12th suggestion. Carry this message to other alcoholics. You can help when no one else can. You can secure their confidence when others fail. When we work with others, our lives change. In the second paragraph on page 89, the authors state, life will take on new meaning. To watch people recover, to see them help others, to watch loneliness vanish, to see a fellowship grow up about you, to have a host of friends. This is an experience you must not miss. We know you will not want to miss it. Frequent contact with newcomers and with each other is the bright spot of our lives. On pages 89 through 103, the Big Book authors provide us with specific instructions on how to carry our life-saving message of recovery to others. They offer many valuable suggestions on these pages. Here are a few of them. In the first paragraph on page 90, they offer this advice. When you discover a prospect for Alcoholics Anonymous, find out all you can about him. If he does not want to stop drinking, don't waste your time trying to persuade him. You may spoil a later opportunity. In the third paragraph on page 91, the authors give us specific directions on what to say. We begin by telling our story. See your man alone if possible. At first, engage in general conversation. After a while, turn the talk to some phase of drinking. Tell him enough about your drinking habits, symptoms, and experiences to encourage him to speak of himself. If he wishes to talk, let him do so. You will thus get a better idea of how you ought to proceed. Then we explain how we recovered. In the first paragraph on page 94, the Big Book authors write, outline the program of action, explaining how you made a self-appraisal, how you straightened out your past, and why you are now endeavoring to be helpful to him. It is important for him to realize that your attempt to pass this on to him plays a vital part in your own recovery. On page 95, starting with the 10th line in the first paragraph, the authors ask us to treat the prospect with dignity and respect. Never talk down to an alcoholic from any moral or spiritual hilltop. Simply lay out the kit of spiritual tools for his inspection. Show him how they worked with you. Offer him friendship and fellowship. Tell him that if he wants to get well, you will do anything to help. Even if we are unsuccessful in getting through to the prospect, the authors encourage us not to give up. In the first paragraph on page 96, they advise us to plant the seed and move on. Do not be discouraged if your prospect does not respond at once. Search out another alcoholic and try again. You are sure to find someone desperate enough to accept with eagerness what you offer. We find it a waste of time to keep chasing a man who cannot or will not work with you. If you leave such a person alone, he may soon become convinced that he cannot recover by himself. To spend too much time on any one situation is to deny some other alcoholic an opportunity to live and be happy. On page 98, starting with the fifth line in the first paragraph, they tell us what to do about the person who makes one excuse after another as to why he or she can't stop drinking. He clamors for this or that, claiming he cannot master alcohol until his material needs are cared for. Nonsense. Some of us have taken very hard knocks to learn this truth. Job or no job, wife or no wife, we simply do not stop drinking so long as we place dependence upon other people ahead of dependence on God. Burn the idea into the consciousness of every man that he can get well regardless of anyone. The only condition is that he trust in God and clean house. How much simpler can it get? Trust in God and clean house. In the first paragraph on page 100, the Big Book authors inform us that we grow spiritually when we work with newcomers. Both you and the new man must walk day by day in the path of spiritual progress. If you persist, remarkable things will happen. When we look back, we realize that the things which came to us when we put ourselves in God's hands were better than anything we could have planned. Follow the dictates of a higher power, and you will presently live in a new and wonderful world, no matter what your present circumstances. Back on page 63, the author stated that God is our new employer. Now, in the second paragraph on page 102, they provide us with a new job description. Your job now is to be at the place where you may be of maximum helpfulness to others, so never hesitate to go anywhere if you can be helpful. You should not hesitate to visit the most sordid spot on earth on such an errand. Keep on the firing line of life with these motives, and God will keep you unharmed. This concludes our presentation of step 12 as found in our Big Book. Let God guide you when you make your 12-step calls, and the Spirit of the universe will keep you safe and protected. In addition, by relying upon guidance, you will be of maximum service to God and the people about you. Being of service to others is critical to our continued growth and the maintenance of our sobriety. Keep in mind that one of the primary services we can perform is to take newcomers through the 12 steps. Each time we do this, we learn more about our life-saving program and gain additional insight into the all-powerful Creator who is at the heart of our new way of living. Who knows, maybe in a couple months, some of you will be ready to lead these sessions. As we have discovered, conducting these beginners' meetings is a real test of how well we know the Big Book. Now, all that's left to practice these principles on a daily basis. What principles? The 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. These are the principles we rely upon in order to remain in the sunlight of the Spirit for the rest of our lives. It is time to make a commitment to work with others. Will those who have taken the first 11 steps please stand? This is the 12-step suggestion. Will you carry this message to other alcoholics? Please answer one at a time, yes or no. After you have answered, please be seated. According to the Big Book authors, those who answered yes to this question have taken step 12. This is a monumental achievement. Congratulations. We are going to close this session by reading two key passages about the recovery process. The first one is on page 164, starting with the second paragraph. It emphasizes the importance of guidance and the necessity of working with others. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. The second passage is on page 25. We have waited until now to share the first two paragraphs of this page with you, because when we started this journey, you might not have understood the significance of what is written here. Having taken the 12 steps and having had a spiritual awakening, you are now in a position to see these words from an entirely new perspective. Your life has changed. You now realize there is a solution. Almost none of us liked the self-searching, the leveling of our pride, the confession of shortcomings which the process requires for its successful consummation. But we saw that it really worked in others, and we had come to believe in the hopelessness and futility of life as we had been living it. When, therefore, we were approached by those in whom the problem had been solved, there was nothing left for us but to pick up the simple kit of spiritual tools laid at our feet. We have found much of heaven, and we have been rocketed into the fourth dimension of existence of which we had not even dreamed. The great fact is just this, and nothing less, that we have had deep and effective spiritual experiences which have revolutionized our whole attitude toward life, toward our fellows, and toward God's universe. The central fact of our lives today is the absolute certainty that our Creator has entered into our hearts and lives in a way which is indeed miraculous. He has commenced to accomplish those things for us which we could never do by ourselves. We wish to welcome those who have taken all 12 steps to the fourth dimension of existence. We thank you for the opportunity to be your guide for this miraculous spiritual journey. We will now close this meeting with a moment of silence, followed by the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we may forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Congratulations, you have completed all 12 steps, and now it's your turn to go out and share these 12 steps with others. Thank you for joining me on this four-part series, and I look forward to meeting you again in the coming weeks.
Until we meet again, lean in to get soulful. Thank you for meeting me soul to soul today on the Soulful Podcast. If this episode connected with you and you feel called to, please share it with your friends and family so they can feel the love as well. Also, don't forget to hit subscribe on your podcast player so you get notified when new episodes drop. Please leave a rating and comment so I know what's touching your soul the most and can bring you more of what you long for. If you have suggestions for topics or would like me to speak at your event, please connect with me at soulfullsobriety@gmail.com. Thank you for your love and support in helping me connect with more souls to remind them they are divine, capable, and loved. You're the best. Go out looking at the world through the lens of love.